Greetings, and welcome to Worship with Weston United Methodist Church. My name is Nick Deitman, and I serve on the hospitality team. It is a joy to have you worship with us today. We invite you to fully participate. You will find worship materials in the description section of our live feed. As we prepare our hearts and minds to worship, we invite you to light a candle as a sign of Christ's presence with you today. May God be with you as we enter this holy time together.
Greetings to you, my family in Christ. I'm so glad to have you together with us this morning in a time of worship. It's a rainy Sunday here in Nashville. We can hear the rolling of the thunder and the reminder of God's great creation all around us and the much-needed rain in our city. I would like to invite you, as you join us on live stream, to follow the prompts alongside the screen, where there will be even now an opportunity, I hope, to register your attendance and let us know that you were here. We invite you to create a worship space around you, to light a candle, to bring a Bible, if you have access to a hymnal, to bring that with you. And then all along the worship service, there will be links alongside the screen to offer prayer concerns. We invite you to pass the peace to one another, opportunity to give online, and to share life together and greetings to one another. We have an extra special blessing this morning. James and Betsy Akins are here in the sanctuary this morning with their daughter Ellis Ladd for baptism, and they have family and friends with them, and so we are just thrilled to have you in the sanctuary for this special time of worship, and we're especially glad to see Ellis Ladd. And I want to make sure that all of you who are worshiping with us online take these congregational vows as they come up in this time of worship and speak them out loud and with faith, as together as a congregation, we take vows to support Ellis and to support James and Betsy as they raise her in the faith. And we may not be able to hear you audibly, but we will be able to hear you in the Spirit, and that's such an important part of this sacrament of baptism. Just a couple of announcements as we gather. Right after worship, starting at 10 o'clock, Dr. Jimmy Bird will be leading a Sunday school class for all adults and youth who wish to participate. There hopefully already is a Zoom link that you have access to. He is a professor at Vanderbilt Divinity School, and the topic of his class is religion, slavery, and the Civil War. And he's written a book about this, and it will be a wonderful learning experience and conversation. So we hope that you'll join us. And then we invite you also on Thursday to tune in on Facebook to a live interview with Dr. Jörg Rieger, who's also a professor at Vanderbilt Divinity School. Our own Pastor Brandon has a special gift for interviewing and listening and asking probing questions, so we hope that you'll join us on Facebook Live for that interview. And now we turn our hearts and minds in this time of worship to continue hearing the story of God's family through the book of Genesis. Today we hear the story of Isaac, Rebecca, Jacob, and Esau, and what we might have to learn from God and how God works in and through this family. Let us continue in a spirit of worship.
Thy spirit send with grace divine, and let thy truth within us shine. mother and father. Be with us as we learn to see one another with new eyes.
Hear one another with new hearts and treat one another in a new way.
Let us worship you with our whole hearts.
Let us praise your name always.
God is slow to anger and quick to forgive. Therefore, let us confess our sins to seek God's mercy. God of life, Lord of mercy, we confess that like Esau and Jacob, we selfishly make decisions that do not honor you or others. Believing ourselves wise, we foolishly follow our own way, falling short of your glory. We take advantage of others to elevate ourselves. We make rash choices without thinking about the impact they have on us or on others. Our pride keeps us from being honest about ourselves, our sin, and our needs. Forgive us, we pray, and grant us the gift of your healing grace. Restore again both the joy of knowing you and the freedom of being known by you. Make us new and lead us in the way of life everlasting. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners, and that proves God's love towards us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. And now, as a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and love. May the peace of Christ be with you.
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 And also with you.
The peace of Christ be with you.
The peace of Christ be with you.
The great joys of the church is the baptism of children. This morning, James and Betsy Akins bring their daughter, Ellis Ladd, before God to the community of faith for baptism.
My family in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We're incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. And all of this is God's gift, offered to us without price. James and Betsy, I ask you on behalf of the whole church, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in his grace, and promise to serve him as your Lord in union with the church which Christ has opened to all people? If so, say, I do. And will you nurture this child in Christ's holy church that by your teaching and example, she may be guided to accept God's grace for herself, to profess her faith openly and to lead a Christian life. If so, will you say, I will? And now to the congregation, those gathered here and those joining us virtually, I invite you also to respond. And I'm going to ask James to turn a little bit so everyone looking at us through that camera can see Ellie's beautiful face. Do you, as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ? If so, please say, we do.
We do.
And will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life and include this child now before you in your care? With God's help, we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ. We will surround this child with the community of love and forgiveness that she may grow in service with others. We will pray for her to be a true disciple who walks in the way that leads to life. Let us pray. Eternal God, when nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the dark waters and brought forth light. In the days of Noah, you saved those on the ark through water. After the flood, you set in the clouds a rainbow. When you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea. Their children you brought through the Jordan to the land which you promised. In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus, nurtured in the water of a womb. He was baptized by John, anointed by your Spirit. He called his disciples to share in the baptism of his death and resurrection and to make disciples of all nations. Pour out your Holy Spirit to bless this gift of water and this child who receives it, to wash away sin and clothe her in righteousness throughout her life, that dying and being raised with Christ, she may share in Christ's final victory. All praise to you, eternal God, through your Son, Jesus Christ, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns forever. Amen. And what name have you given your beautiful daughter?
Ellis Ladd.
Ellis Ladd. And Ellis is wearing a gown that was worn by many members of her family, and you just look beautiful. And I bet it tastes good, too, doesn't it? Ellis Ladd Akins, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And now I invite the two of you and all of you who are here as friends and family and all of us together to join together in praying for the gift of the Holy Spirit in Ellis's life. Ellie, may the Holy Spirit work within you that being born through water and the Spirit, you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ all the days of your beautiful life. Amen. I want to take just a moment for your church family that is joining us virtually to bless you and to enjoy and celebrate Ellie's beautiful life and beautiful baptism.
Now, as a congregation, it is our joy to welcome our new sibling in Christ. Members of the household of God, I commend Ellis Ladd to your love and your care. Do all in your power to increase her faith, confirm her hope, and perfect her in love.
We give thanks for all that God has already given you, Ellis Ladd, and we welcome you in Christian love. As members together with you in the body of Christ, and in this congregation of the United Methodist Church, we renew our covenant to participate faithfully in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ.
Thank you. let us join together in the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as your scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. The lesson today is from the Old Testament, the book of Genesis, chapter 25, starting at verse 19. These are the descendants of Isaac, Abraham's son. Abraham was the father of Isaac, and Isaac was 40 years old when he married Rebekah, daughter of Bethuel the Aramea of Padan Aram, sister of Laban the Aramean. Isaac prayed to the Lord for his wife because she was barren, and the Lord granted his prayer and she conceived. The children struggled together within her, and she said, "If it is to be this way, why do I live?" So she went to inquire of the Lord, and the Lord said to her, "Two nations are in your womb, and two peoples born of you shall be divided. One shall be stronger than the other. The elder shall serve the younger." When her time to give birth was at hand, there were twins in her womb. The first came out red and all his body like a hairy mantle. So they named him Esau. Afterwards, his brother came out with his hand gripping Esau's heel. So they named him Jacob. Isaac was 60 years old when the boys were born. When the boys grew up, Esau was a skilled hunter, a man of the field. And Jacob was a quiet man living in tents. Isaac loved Esau because he was fond of game, but Rebekah loved Jacob. Once when Jacob was cooking a stew, Esau came in from the field and he was famished. Esau said to Jacob, "Let me eat some of that red stuff, for I am famished." Jacob responded saying, "First, sell me your birthright." Esau replied, "I'm about to die. Of what use is a birthright to me?" Jacob said, "Swear to me first." So he swore to him and sold his birthright to Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and lentil stew, and he ate and drank, and then rose and walked away. Thus Esau despised his birthright. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Now is a special moment for our children. And so I'm going to invite all the children to come a little bit closer to your screens. And I know we have at least two little girls in the congregation this morning. So I'm glad to see you this morning, too. Good morning. So I'm going to look at both of you, okay? I'm going to look at the camera and I'm going to look at you, too. I have something different up here, something you're not used to seeing on Sunday mornings. And that's because in my sermon in a few minutes, I'm going to draw a picture of a family. Now, it's going to be a different kind of drawing. It's not going to be like people and stick figures. Hopefully, you'll be able to understand when I do it. But there's so many different ways to be a family. In church together this month and this summer, we're hearing stories from the book of Genesis about a family that God wants to work with in a special way. But that family looks different from each other and from us. Some families have two parents and five children and two dogs and a cat. Some families have one parent and two children. Some of you may be in families where you have a step-parent and step-brothers and sisters, and maybe you live in a house with your parents and brothers and sisters and maybe a grandparent or a cousin or aunt or uncle. Families have all different ways of looking and being. And sometimes it's not so easy in our families. Every family has conflict sometimes. Maybe every once in a while, if you have a sibling, you get into a little argument. Sometimes we don't get along. Sometimes we say things we don't mean to, or we do things that we feel sorry about. But you know what? God loves and blesses every single family. And God can work through every single family. And we see that in the book of Genesis, because these are not perfect people, and they don't always do what they should. But God still loves them and works with them. And you know what? The church is a family. The church is one big family. Not just this church, but every church across the world is part of one big Christian family that God calls together. And we don't always get along, and sometimes we argue and disagree. But God always loves us and is always working to help us love each other. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Gracious God, we thank you for the gift of family in every shape it takes. Most especially today, we thank you for the family of God, for how you connect us with all people everywhere through your love. Forgive us when we fight and we don't get along. Thank you for loving us anyway, and help us to grow in that love of one another and of you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so I know you're curious. I've never used a whiteboard before. At least it's not PowerPoint. I think maybe all of us are tired of Zoom and PowerPoint at this point. I got to thinking, as we have been reading these stories of Genesis and the family of Abraham and how it unfolds, about family and family dynamics. And I was remembering that when my husband David and I were preparing to get married, we went through 4 or 5 counseling sessions, pre-marriage counseling sessions. Maybe you all went through them as well. They were really fun and interesting. One of the first things our counselor asked us to do was to draw a genogram of our families of origin. Now, a genogram is you draw the members of your family, and then you demonstrate the nature of the relationship between each person and the family. So, for example, two parents who have a strong marriage might have a straight, strong line between them. But maybe they have a child that they're in conflict with a lot, and that would be sort of a zigzag line to show there's some conflict. Or maybe there's distance in a relationship, and that might be a dotted line. So just as an example, since we've been looking at the family of Abraham, I'm going to do a very quick run with Abraham's family, and then we'll move on. I'm sorry y'all can't see, but you could just imagine. So we have Abraham, and we learned in Genesis 12 that his wife was named Sarah. And God promised them that they would be the parents of a great nation. But as we know, years went by and they didn't have a child. And so Sarah took matters into her own hands, and she had a servant named Hagar, whom she gave to Abraham as a wife. Now, these are the verbs and the descriptions in the story itself. She took Hagar, gave her to Abraham as a wife. Hagar and Abraham had a son named Ishmael. When Hagar became pregnant and gave birth to a son, the story tells us she looked with scorn at Sarah. And Sarah was angry with Hagar and was angry at Ishmael, her son, and there was conflict, and we heard about that story a couple of weeks ago. Then finally, Sarah and Abraham have a son, Isaac. Sarah loves Isaac. Abraham loves Isaac. Abraham loves Ishmael. But the conflict is so strong that finally Sarah convinces Abraham to send Ishmael and Hagar away. We don't know much about the relationship between Isaac and Ishmael, but it was probably a little bit conflicted, we know from one little episode. So there's the happy family right there. And by the way, we learn right before our story today that after Sarah dies, Abraham marries another woman named Keturah and has 7 sons through her. The story goes on to say, when Abraham died, he gave everything he had to Isaac. And I'm sure that caused no family conflict whatsoever with the other sons. Thank you. I kind of thought that was meant to be funny, but not so funny to the other brothers. So, that leaves us this morning with the story of Isaac and his family. Last week, we heard the story of Isaac marrying Rebekah. And it seems to have been a relationship of love. It's clear, it says clearly Isaac loved Rebekah. And through Rebekah's behavior, we're going to assume and hope that she loved Isaac as well, and they had a strong, loving marriage between them. They were married for 10 years without children, struggling with infertility, a painful struggle that many of you know. And then Isaac goes and prays to the Lord, and the Lord opens Rebekah's womb, and suddenly she is expecting twins. And the story says that these two twins were wrestling within her. They were jostling within her. They were already in conflict, even in Rebekah's womb. We know when they're born, Esau is born first. Jacob is the second born. So Esau has all the rights of the firstborn that came in that culture. We know what their names mean. Esau was born with a lot of hair and a red face, and so he was named Esau, which means red. Jacob was born grasping onto the heel of Esau. His name means supplanter. And maybe that's why they were jostling in the womb, because Jacob, even in the womb, was trying to get out before Esau, trying to be the firstborn. Rebekah, when she was in the midst of her pregnancy, received a word from the Lord that the elder would serve the younger, that Jacob would be the one who would carry forward the covenant of God. And maybe that's why, as they grew up, she favored Jacob. And here's where we get into a little bit more family dysfunction. It says in the story, Isaac loved Esau, but Rachel loved Jacob. If that's not a recipe for family conflict and dysfunction, I don't know what is. Parents playing favorites. One parent favoring one twin, the other favoring the other. This probably means between Isaac and Jacob, there is at best a distant relationship. Rebekah with Esau, maybe seeing Esau as a threat to Jacob, who was meant to carry on the covenant. Maybe this led to distance and conflict between Rebekah and Isaac. We do know that later in the story, a couple of chapters later, Rebekah and Jacob work together to deceive and lie to Isaac so that Jacob could get his blessing. And we see in today's story how Jacob manipulates his older brother, exploits and uses him to get the birthright. Not a lot of smooth lines in this family. A lot of conflict, a lot of dysfunction. And we read these stories of our heroes and sheroes in the faith, our forebears in the family of God, and we have to wonder, what are we supposed to learn from these characters? I don't think we're supposed to imitate their behavior. Rebekah and Isaac play favorites with their children. Esau cares only about his stomach and is willing to give away his position in the family and all the responsibilities that come with it for a bowl of soup. And Jacob is a schemer and a supplanter, constantly deceiving and manipulating to get what he wants. So what are we supposed to learn from this story and this family? I think the clue comes from looking at what God is up to in the story and remembering the purposes of God. To me, at least, there's comfort in this story, recognizing that God continues to move God's story and God's purposes forward, even through a dysfunctional family like that one, and the one of Abraham before it, and the ones that come after. As I shared with the children, none of us comes from a perfect family. I would venture to guess that all of our families, whether nuclear families or extended families, have some level of conflict and dysfunction and alienation. We all have our stories of wounds that we have received from our families and those we have most likely inflicted. And yet, Genesis reveals to us a God who works in and through our families and us anyway. God is never going to give up on God's family. And God is never going to give up on God's purposes. So what is God's purpose? We heard it announced in the very first chapter of Genesis, which we looked at together at the beginning of the summer, when God created all of humankind in God's image. One humanity, one human family. And then when God called out Abraham, God said to Abraham, I am creating in you and through you a special chosen people. And in your relationship with me, this unique covenant, I will reveal to the world who I am. I am blessing you, God says to Abraham, so that you will be a blessing. And in you and your family, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. It's God's intention and purpose all along, it seems to me, to reconcile and bring unity and to connect in love all of creation. We see that happening even in this family. In the second story of Jacob's deception, which we didn't hear this morning, when he tricks Isaac into giving him his blessing, Esau is so enraged that he wants to kill his brother. And so Rebekah says to Jacob, go, flee, your brother wants to kill you. And so Jacob runs, and we'll hear his story about his journey for the next few weeks. It's years later when he finally comes home with all of his children and his entourage. He returns home and he is so afraid of what Esau will do. But if you know the story, you know what Esau does. Esau runs out and embraces his brother. He forgives Jacob. And the two of them together bury Isaac. When he dies, there is reconciliation even in this family. And you know, that gives me hope too for all of our families, that God is never going to give up God's work of reconciliation and forgiveness and compassion and unity. The Spirit is always moving, always working to move within us. So even if you are in the midst of a dysfunctional, conflicted family, through the power of God, there is the hope of reconciliation and forgiveness. It gives me hope, too, for our human family. I don't think we're doing so well right now. I don't have to regale you with the details, but you know how deeply conflicted we are right now. In my opinion, it's exacerbated by this pandemic and by the fact that so much of our interaction is happening online, on Facebook, in places where it's easy to dehumanize each other. It's easy to insult and dismiss. It's easy to go and look for those people who will agree with us and just live in this echo chamber of reinforcing each other's opinions. And never sitting across the table with a member of our human family who may look different and act differently and think differently than we do, and yet who shares with us a common humanity. Sometimes I worry that we're losing sight of that common humanity between ourselves. And yet this story, this beautiful biblical story, gives us an image. I think of Rebecca as she holds these two conflicted brothers within her womb. And I think about God holding within God's self all of humanity and all of our conflict and our wars and our strife and our dysfunction. never giving up on us, working always to bring us to forgiveness and compassion and reconciliation. Now, the invitation is to cooperate with this work that God is doing. We can shut ourselves off to it. It's much easier and more satisfying to stay in our echo chambers and to demonize those who disagree with us. It's much harder to be vulnerable and humble enough to say, I could be wrong. It's harder to listen and to make room for someone else. I don't know what Esau had to go through to be able to embrace his brother again, but that's the kind of journey I want to go on. There will always be conflict. It's human nature. And not all conflict is bad. Sometimes we have to fight for what is right. As we say in our baptismal vows, we have to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves, and sometimes that brings on conflict. But may we trust and believe that God is even in the midst of those conflicts, guiding us always on the path of love and truth. And with the vision before us, that with God we are all gathered around one table, with God alone as our host, where everybody has a seat at the table and can speak and be heard, belong and be loved. Thanks be to God. Amen.
I invite you to join me as we affirm our faith with the statement of faith from the United Church of Canada, which is found in our United Methodist hymnal on page 883. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life, in death, in life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen. Now, as we come to our prayer time, I invite you to lift up your silent and your spoken prayers. If you would like to share them with the pastoral team that prays throughout the week, you can follow the link and offer up your prayer requests under Contact Us on our website, or you are invited to share it publicly on the feed. We offer our sympathy to Patricia Cullum and her family in the death of her mother, Rosalie Wood, who died July 2nd in Ellsworth, Kansas. Services were held there on Saturday, July 4th. Today's prayer was written by our own Reverend Brandon Baxter, and I invite you to join me as we go to God in prayer. May the Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. God of Esau and Jacob, on this day when we hear the story of these brothers and their contentious relationship, we are reminded that you can work within imperfect people and imperfect relationships. We pray that you would help us see how your goodness and grace may work within our imperfect lives as well. Help us learn from the lives of Esau and Jacob. From Esau, we pray for the wisdom to recognize the gifts and the blessing in our lives. Protect us from the foolish temptation to seek instant gratification at the expense of what matters most in life. May we be grateful and humble people. Help us learn from the life of Jacob when we are tempted to take advantage of others. Remind us that we serve a God who calls us to seek the well-being of our siblings, especially those who are vulnerable. Make us people of service and of mercy. Most holy God, on this day when our hearts are awakened to the trial of family, we pray for our human family this day. We pray for our siblings throughout the world who may suffer this day due to illness, to poverty, to hunger, and to war. May humanity learn to love as you have taught us to love. Merciful One, today most especially, we pray for our siblings throughout our nation, our state, our city, and our local communities. In difficult days of uncertainty and anxiety rooted in widespread illness and social unrest, we pray for our communal healing and flourishing. God, who can make mighty nations from Jacob and Esau. God, who can bring peace and understanding between siblings. Pour your Holy Spirit of restorative grace upon us and all of God's children this day. We lift up these spoken prayers to you and also the many unspoken petitions on our hearts and our minds this day. And we join together as we pray the prayer that Christ taught us in saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. We invite you now to give your tithes and your offerings so that our congregation can continue the vital ministries in our community and throughout the world. You can give through our website or you can text to give. You may also mail in a check. We realize that many are suffering economically right now, but we encourage you to give as you are able. We know that God can multiply those gifts for God's glory and for the benefit of God's kingdom. So may we give with joy this morning.
think of a better sending forth than those words we have just sung together. We are one family. We have celebrated together the gift of family and new birth, and now we go forth to love one another, to see every human being as a member of God's family, and to learn more and more each day to love God and neighbor in all that we do. May we, through that love, know deep peace. Amen.